end of one season, the beginning of another. You know, all of life is seasonal. Amen? All of life. Listen, if you're going from spring, then you go into summer, right? There's different things that we do, things that we prepare for. As you start planting your garden in the springtime, amen? You start getting your flowers in the springtime. Then we go into summertime, and all of a sudden it's flip-flop, shorts, t-shirts, swimming, like all this fun. And then we go into the fall. Now we put on light jackets. We get our last crop in. We do all this stuff. We got to get ready for winter. If you have a wood stove, you're out cutting, splitting wood, stacking wood. I mean, you're getting ready. And then you go into the winter season, and you just stay in your house and forget everyone lives until spring again. Amen. kind of seems to be what it is. But we go through seasons of life. And I would tell you this. Not only do we go through seasons of life, just the four seasons that we talk about, but man, we go through emotional seasons, growing seasons, challenging seasons. Guys, we go through so many different seasons in our life, and if you look at society today, it is changing so fast, and things, the world is going crazy, that it's so hard to keep up, amen? I don't know about you, but every time, so I backed out of the news just because I went, I just need a refresher, amen. I need to clear my brain because you know how I am with news, at any rate. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to clear out of that. Well, then I had a friend call me and he said, "Hey, John, are you following this?" I go, "Dude, I'm not following anything right now because the whole world's crazy and I'm trying to eliminate some crazy in my life, right?" So we go through these seasons. Well, graduates, listen, man, you're ending one season. And you're starting another. For some of you, you're graduating high school. How many are excited about that? Amen? Nobody? Listen, it's not... The parents are like, "Yeah, they're 18, get out!" The students are going, "I don't know what's in the world." Now we have some graduating college, amen? And you went from high school to college. Yeah, give her a call, right? They're like, "Yeah, I got to start adulting. Wait a minute." It's like these seasons just kind of overwhelm us if we're not careful. And as we go through this, guys, I want to challenge you to think of a few things. You know, when we listen to speeches at school, they challenge you. You're a leader. You can be, and they put these bars so high up here for everyone, right? And the reality is, not everyone's a leader. Not everyone's going to be a lawyer or a president or a doctor. And thank God for that. Because I'm going to tell you what, it takes a little bit of everybody to do everything. And some of us in here, we have talents that are amazing. Like every one of us in here, God says He gives us a gift and a talent that's absolutely amazing. But it's up to us to use it and to practice it for God's glory. Amen? Listen, if everybody was like me, man, everybody be on Xanax by now. Right? I mean, let's face it, because I'm always like about a 9 on the 10 scale, amen, right? Like I'm always crazy up there. And so it's like, what if everyone could only fix a car? Or everyone could only be a doctor? Or everyone could only give a good speech? Or, I mean, how boring would life be, first off? And second, most of us would have starved to death and died by now, right? Because how many people, you think of farmers out there. Oh my goodness, those who farm and they supply our food day in and day out. And then when you go past, how many go out 90, go west, and you pass, there's a cow farm out there and a pig farm. And when you go by, my wife is always like, "Oh, that is horrible." And I'm going, "Country air, I love it." Amen, right? How many love the smell of a pig farm? You legit, because you're like, man, that's living right there. Until you fall in it, and then it's not as. Well, I don't know. Some people are like, yeah. I had a guy, a friend of mine in North Carolina. This has nothing to do with the message, but I'll get there in a second. And he owned a septic business, and so he would go around and he would pump out septics and put septics in, like that was his job, right? And he was a old farmer. And or he grew up on the farm, so It was always the bib overalls, no more than that, the hat, the ratty hat that just looked like it needed to be thrown away about 10 years ago, and he'd be wearing it. And one day, he came to a job that I was on because we had to get some stuff pumped out. Anyway, I said, he's over there pumping it out, and I was talking to him, and another guy comes up. He's like, "Man, that smell is awful. It stinks." And he had a lisp. That my friend did that had the service, and he goes, "Smell like money to me." Right? And I'm just saying, so it's like all these people. We need everyone, amen? And so you're going to end the season, you're going to go into a new season, and listen, I want you to know that you may never be a doctor or a lawyer, or you may never be the president, or you may never be everyone else's expectation. And I'm here to tell you, that's okay. I want you to know what matters more than anything is that you be everything that God made you to be. You take advantage of everything that God has to offer you. And you grow up looking at Jesus and loving Jesus and following Jesus. And I promise you, if you go that route, it doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to tell you this. People think, you know, you'll look at a janitor and you go, okay, that's just a janitor. Oh, really? Just a janitor? Yeah, sit down for number two. Reach over and there'll be nothing there to help you at the end. How important is the janitor now? I'm telling you, everybody is important. Everybody is important. There is not one job that's not important. Not one. So here's what matters more than anything, is that you take the Lord with you and you have a great attitude, no matter what you're doing, whatever you do, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength and do it as unto the Lord. That's our requirement. Well, I want you to remind you of a few things in this. And one of the things that I want to remind you of is to be all God created you to be, number one. And then I want to remind you of Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. I'm going to give you a set of passages today that if you write them down and you put them in your book and you follow them, or when you're getting in trouble, or when you feel confused, when you feel like, where is everyone? I want you to go to these passages. Because the reality is, we have an enemy. And the enemy is the devil. And I'm going to tell you what, he'd love nothing more than to take us down. Nothing more. And so I want you to be strengthened, and I want you to know where to find the strength when you're struggling. So in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the first thing I want you to see, or let's go ahead and read it, and then I'm going to point out some stuff for you. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Listen, don't leave anything off. It takes all of the outfit to be successful. Amen? "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil." You keep up with me, man. There you go. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day." I'm telling you, Satan, he's there like a roaring lion, and he wants to take us out. Like legit, take us out, consume us. The lion takes prey. And the devil wants to take us out as his prey. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go down that way. Amen? So then in the next verse, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith." And if you notice here, it says above all. We're going to talk about this in a second. The most important thing of all the armor you have is your faith. You take your shield of faith. The cool thing about the shield that a lot of people don't realize is back then they would make these shields. Now they can make them out of metal, they can make them out of wood, they'd make them out of various things. But what they would always do is they would cover the shield with a like a burlap, right? They'd put a little thick portion in there, and then they'd cover that with leather, a good, stiff, hard leather. And then when they go into battle, they'd saturate the whole thing with water. Because what would happen is, every time they would go in battle, someone would fire darts at them, or arrows, and they would be on fire. And so they would take their shield and they would hit or block that fiery arrow. It would go into the shield, and because it was wet, it would put the fire out. And so they didn't have to worry about that part of the attack. And so the shield of faith, and that's why it says that it puts out all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's the idea, so we can see and understand what he's talking about. The shield of faith. The word, it's literally your belief in not just God. Not just God. You know how many people believe in God? Everybody believes in God. The problem is, who's their God? That's the problem. Is their God Jesus Christ, or is their God Buddha? Is their God Allah? Is their God the sun? Is their God a tree? Is their God a moon? Is their God a creation that they made, or that in their brain they thought up of? The reality is, God is Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit. That's it. That is it. And so when the devil hits us, we take the shield of faith in those three, the Trinity, one God, and that got complicated, but we'll clear it up another day, and we put out the fiery darts next. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that. And then 18, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. One of the words I want you to notice in this verse is, a couple words here, being watchful. That literally means always on guard. Because what did we just talk about starting in verse 10? The battle, right? And the battle's real. Being watchful, always on guard, right? And then what? To this end, what's the end of the return of Christ? With all perseverance. Man, that means, as they say in the South, you got to hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. Now, it's gross, but it's tight. That thing's not going anywhere, amen? I'm just saying. You got to hang in. Oh, my goodness. But you got to hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. That's that perseverance and supplication, right? And then it's constantly praying and lifting one another up. We need each other. Amen? We need each other. So graduates, listen. Just because now you're getting ready to go out into the world, don't think you're going to do this on your own. Oh, don't think, oh, I'm graduating now. I'm getting out of the house, mom, dad. I don't need you. Yeah. Give it 6 months. Amen? Mom, dad, I'm hungry. I need gas. Sure, honey, where are you at? On the front porch. Listen, I just want to encourage you that we need each other. Please do not think that you're going to go out into the world and not need someone else. Please don't think that. You will be deceived and you will get taken down. And by the way, man, the best prey for a lion to get is the prey that's all alone. All alone. They'll get taken down. So be cautious of that, guys. All right, so here's some things I want you to look at that I want to remind you of. Number one, keep the helmet of salvation. Keep the helmet of salvation. Other direction. There we go. Keep the helmet of salvation upon your head, remembering to protect your thinking from ungodly teaching. I will tell you this, guys. The teaching out there today is unbelievable. Hey, God didn't create anything. It all evolved from a little nothing into something, and then it grew a tail. Or no, first it swam. Or first what happened? We don't even know, but we know the final part of that evolution process is they became professors down at UAlbany. So, any rate, listen, I'm going to tell you, man, you got to protect your way of thinking. You have to protect your way of thinking. Because you know what? Thoughts are things, right? And you focus on something long enough, And you just might make it happen. Thoughts are things, and so we have to be careful with that. And then the next thing that I want you to look at is keep the breastplate of righteousness. Keep the breastplate of righteousness on at all times to protect the word of God which has been written upon your hearts. You guys have been in here for several years now. Many of you have. You have to keep the breastplate of righteousness and protect the word of God. Because, you know, if we can get rid of the word of God, if we can get rid of truth, then Satan wins. And there's so much in the Word of God that goes against society today, goes against the way of thinking of people today. And what happens? You speak truth or you speak the Word of God, and all of a sudden they're like, that's hate, that's racist, that's bigotry. Now I'm going to tell you, you can live in race, hate, bigotry and believe the world, or you can live in the Word of God, protect yourself, and teach them what God expects from them. It is not racist to stand on the Word of God, or bigotry to stand on the Word of God, or hate to stand on the Word of God. I did a podcast, Why Are Christians So Hateful? And the reality is, at the end of the podcast, I simply make it clear, guys, that quit making it about you. We don't hate you, we just love God. And we're either going to love God, or we're not going to love God. This isn't about hating anyone. It's choosing to love our God. And we're going to love the God of the Bible, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And at the end, I say on the podcast, I'm not going to ask you to stop loving your God, so stop asking me to stop loving my God. That's the truth of it. Amen? And that's a hard one to deal with, but it is what it is. And so, The breastplate of righteousness, and then wear the belt of truth that holds all the armor together. One of the interesting things about the belt, guys, is that when you put the belt on, it keeps your pants up, amen? And for some, it keeps their shirt down, amen? But in this, in when we're talking the belt of truth, or in the armor of the soldier, everything was attached to the belt. Everything was attached to the belt. So when the Bible says the belt of truth, everything is attached to that. All of their armor, everything they put on. Why? Because that's the most essential part to keep everything connected and to keep it together. Amen? And so when it talks about the belt of truth, which is the Word of God, right? I'm telling you, the truth of God, that's what's going to keep us together. You stray from that, and it's like, you know, you've seen people pull the belt off and all of a sudden they're like so busy holding their pants up, because if they don't, they're going to have issues, right? Or they try to do something, they got one hand holding their britches up and one hand to try to work with. The reality is, if we're going to function properly and efficiently, we need to make sure that belt of truth is always in place. Because if it's not, we're going to have a hard time and we'll always be preoccupied. The shoes of the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel of peace, sharing Christ with those you meet, bearing witness to everyone. It doesn't matter what you do when you go out into the world if you don't share Christ. It doesn't even matter that you're a Christian. I love Jesus. Well, what good is that if you don't share it with someone so they can love Jesus? Listen, every one of us, unfortunately, are going to grow old and die. Okay, that's not the most encouraging part of the message, but I'll get to the encouraging part. Amen? But look at the gray. Boy, I'd like to have someone said, Pastor, you need to dye your beard. I got to do it every 3 days. That's more work. I don't even have time to do what I got to do. And you want to add, no. And then one day I look all stupid because I didn't get to it, and I got this whole base of gray and then these slivers of black that is die. And God said, I'm going to go gray. I went gray. He said, I was going, shall I wear a wig? Like, at what point? No, listen. Be yourself. But at some point, guys, the world's going to end for you and for I. It is. It's going to end for us. We don't know the day or the hour. That means we don't know the day or the hour for anyone else either. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. What good is it to know God and to love someone and not share the gospel and let them die and go to hell? The shoes of the gospel of peace. And then above all, above anything, and we talked about this earlier, above all, carry the shield of faith in God, which will protect you against the attack of the devil, which will come against you. Above all. The scripture in verse 16 says, above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All of the fiery darts. Not a portion, not a piece, but all of them. Your faith will protect you. If you throw your faith out the window, man, you become the rat waiting for the trap. You do. It's just a matter of time. If you don't have your faith and you're not living it out, holding on, above all, holding on to your faith in God, Jesus Christ specifically, the Father in heaven, literally, you're like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Yeah, all my little colloquials come out every now and then. You're going to get it. You're going to get caught. You can't sacrifice your faith and think that this is all good. You'll get caught. I promise you, it'll just be a matter of time before you let your guard down long enough and Satan will be right there to take you down. Just a matter of time. Do not sacrifice your faith. And then finally, in your hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, your Bible. The sword of the Spirit, which is your Bible. Listen, every now and then, how many go through classes sometimes? You go in and they're like, hey, yeah, we're going to go through a refresher course. Go through a refresher course, right? For you guys graduating, you would have a practice quiz or something like that to get ready for the test, right? And so, guys, I'm telling you, the sword of the Spirit, that is our refresher. That is our reminder. That is our teacher. That is our guide, our director. That is everything we need to be successful in life. You leave that behind, you have nothing to ward off the enemy. Nothing. And so when the enemy comes toward you, you're going to be standing there with no way to protect yourself. None. None. You're totally exposed, completely vulnerable, and you will go down. And then in all things, pray. In all things, that's the next slide, guys. In all things, pray. That's literally just seeking God's face, calling unto Him. See, the Bible is God talking to us. Prayer is us talking to God. We need both. How many actually like having a real conversation with someone? Right? You don't want to be doing all the talking and you don't want someone else doing all the talking. You literally want it to go back and forth. I'm going to tell you, that's what prayer is and that's what this is. And then you open yourself up to literally have God visit you. And you go, no way. No, yeah, really. My favorite ride was riding through Death Valley. Death Valley, there's no greenery there, right? It's the desert. There's really no water there unless you make it half to the halfway point and there's a gas station. But as I'm riding through Death Valley, I'm in awe of God, right? And I'm just praising God. I'm praising Jesus. I'm riding through Death Valley. We're going up the mountain and it says 17 miles. We get to the top, and then when you crest the mountain and you look, it is literally breathtaking. I mean, absolutely breathtaking. And I just started worshiping God and praising God. Coming down the mountain, it was the craziest thing, right? When you're on a motorcycle, you get head buffeting, you get wind, you know, all of a sudden, it literally is That's all you could hear. Everything went completely still. It was the most amazing thing ever. I'm praising God. I'm telling you right now, God joined me on the motorcycle. My hand wasn't even on. We're going 65 miles an hour. Never broke speed. No wind buffeting. It was just like, it was so amazing. And I'm in tears. Like I'm full on tears, crocodile tears dripping down from under my helmet, hitting my chest. I'm like, in awe, God joined me. I mean, joined me. I can't explain it. I don't know that I would have the words to explain it. But I'll never forget it. The best ride of my life. And I have covered so many miles. If you seek God's face, and you pray, and you get into the Word, and you keep your shield of faith, and you do what God asks of you, He'll join you as well. Real, intimate, join. The most amazing thing ever when it happens. You'll never forget it. And so many people are like, how do you make that happen? You spend time with God, like you spend time with Him. Amen? Just spend time with Him. And that's what happens. All right, so that's my reminder to you. Now I'm going to give you three things that I want you to put away in your little book, write it down, put it wherever you put it, in your phone, however you do this, right? Three things that I want you to remember as you begin this new journey or this new season. Number one, face your fears. Face your fears. In 1 Timothy 1:7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. And then verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless. Wait a minute. 2 Timothy, my apologies. Go to 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense to me. 2 Timothy. I have 2 Timothy down here. All right, that's cool. Here we go. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hold this verse right here. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. If God be with you, who can be against you? What do we have to be afraid of? Our Father is the God of all creation. Our Savior conquered death and hell. And the Holy Spirit says, I will come into you and seal you unto the day of redemption. I will teach you, guide you, direct you. What do we have to be afraid of? So God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now I realize you look out in the world and you're like, that everybody missed the sound mind part. I mean, we have lost our mind right now, right? But God says, listen, a sound mind. How do we keep that, maintain it, grow it, hold on to it? We have to stay in the Word of God. Give me verse 8, please. Therefore, remember I said, whenever you see a therefore, what do? We go back and see what it's there for. And so, literally, because I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind, because of that, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share, and this is Paul talking, by the way, to Timothy, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, verse 9, please, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. In other words, God, before you even existed, God decided that He was going to put this into us. that he was going to give us everything we need to walk in holiness and righteousness and courage, wisdom, sound mind, discernment. Everything we need, God says, I will give it to you, and I've given it to you, and so therefore, don't be ashamed of me, because I am not ashamed of you. Listen, graduates, and anyone else, if you're walking in the world, and you're ashamed of God, the Bible says God will be ashamed of you. You deny Christ, he's not in you. You say, Pastor, that's not fair. No, it is fair. It's the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. Amen? So I want you to face your fears. Besides, nothing got accomplished staying in a closet with the door closed, chattering your teeth, wondering, ooh, where's the boogeyman? Nothing gets accomplished in there. Face your fears. You will find the greatest pleasures are just past. I'm not letting this hold me back because I'm afraid of it. You will accomplish amazing things. Number two, forget your failures. Forget your failures. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Stop right there. Go back to 13 right there. Paul says this. Listen, I don't think I've arrived. Don't get me wrong. That apprehended. Listen, I don't think I'm there and I got all the answers, because I don't. But here's what I do know. I messed up big time. I don't know if you guys know, how many know who Saul is in the Bible? Paul is Saul. Saul's in the Bible. We read of Saul in the book of Acts, where Stephen is being killed. They are because he will not join the people in their sin. He's staying separate. He's praying to God. And he called them out. It made them mad. So they start beating up on him and start stoning him. He looks up into the heaven. And he says, Father, forgive them for what they're doing. The guy holding their jackets, the ones that are killing Stephen, Saul is holding their jackets. Saul was Paul's name before the road to Damascus. Saul is Paul before he was saved. If you read the scriptures, what you'll find is Paul never forgot about that. As a matter of fact, Paul says, Stephen's blood is on my hands. Because Paul, at the time being Saul, was ordering for all Christians to be killed or beaten or imprisoned. So Paul has all of this that he carries around with him. Right? I mean, this is talk about failures. Oh my goodness. And then Paul writes this to the Philippian church. Knowing what he's done, knowing his past, and everybody knows his past, because, man, when Paul got saved, God was sending people to him, or he would go to different churches, and they're like, whoa, here comes the murderer, here comes the Christian killer, don't let him in. And God's like, no, I'm using him. And they're going, God, I thought you knew everything. This man's crazy. And God's like, no, he's my man. And this is what he says. A guy who can carry around guilt beyond guilt beyond guilt for murdering God's people, innocent people, doing unbelievable things to people. And he says, I haven't arrived. Don't think that I'm being arrogant here. But one thing that I do, it's literally, when he says forgetting those things which are behind, it's not forgetting, because how many here can forget what you've done in the past? Right? Satan will use that. Those are the fiery darts of Satan, by the way, to guilt you and to wear you out from your past. What he's really saying here is, I let it go. I let it go. It's not going to control me. It's not going to dictate tomorrow's steps. My past ungodliness will not dictate tomorrow's righteousness. That's what he's saying here. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Listen, graduates, you got a whole lot to reach forward to. Do not allow Satan to train wreck your future because of your past. If Jesus says you're forgiven, guess what? You're forgiven. And then I hear people say this, well, Pastor, you don't understand, I can't forgive myself. So your forgiveness means more than Christ's forgiveness? So you're greater than Him? Because that's what you're saying. If you say, I can't forgive myself, you are convinced you need to carry a guilt trip around everywhere you go. And people that know they can use that against you, they beat you up with it. And Paul says, listen to me, let that go. Let it go. Let it go. Fear and guilt will destroy you. Fear will put you in your place and guilt will keep you there. Do not allow those two things that we see in Scripture, they're not of God. Do not allow those things to dictate your walk and your future. Don't do it, guys. Please, do not set yourself up for failure that way. Go on to verse 14, please. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So when he says, look, I let all that go, God's forgiven me. Listen, man, he's given me, there's no fear in me. He's given me power and love and a sound mind. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to press toward Jesus Christ, the goal that he has for my life. And remember, in Joshua, he told Joshua, I have a future and a hope for you. Jeremiah, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And Paul says, listen, here's my goal. My goal is to be all I can be and all that God wants me to be and desires for me to be and pushes for me to be and made me to be. That's it. So when you go, well, I don't know what to be, start here. Start here, and then God will open doors like you've never seen, never known before in your life. Start here. Amen? So Paul says, listen, I'm forgetting everything behind. I'm pressing toward the goal of Jesus Christ. And here's the cool part, the prize. God will reward you unbelievably. So I'm going to tell you that you face your fears, you forget your failures, and then number three, and we're going to end with this one, number three. And yes, I am ending early. Praise Jesus. You guys thought it was never possible, but miracles do happen. Just don't expect it every week. Number three, follow your faith. Follow your faith. Isn't that what Paul told us to do that we just read in Philippians? I press toward the goal. Follow your faith. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if your faith is in anything other than this, you're in trouble. It's just a matter of time. That'll get exposed. You're in trouble. Follow your faith. I want you to look in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, therefore. Now, remember, when we see the word therefore, what do? We go back and find out what it's there for. In this case, but for sake of time, we're not going to do it. The word therefore here in 12:1 is all of chapter 11. All of chapter 11 talks about those who went before us, those who had faith, faith in God, and they followed God, and God blesses them. Chapter 11 is the faith chapter, and is the blessing of God on people's lives that have been put into this famous chapter in the Bible, the faith chapter. And so when we see this, and I'm telling you, you follow your faith, you might get your name written somewhere in a book in heaven from God. Follow your faith. Look what it says. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the great cloud of witnesses literally means those in chapter 11 that already lived this life out in faith, lived for God, lived toward doing what was right, those are the witnesses that say, it works. It works. Do not abandon your faith. So many times we see people, listen, for those of you in graduated high school and you decide to go to college, I say go to trade school. Save a ton of money, learn how to do something, and go out and make money before you go $100,000 in debt or more. And here's the other thing. You go to a trade school, you're not giving the professors down here that are teaching evolution, you're not giving them the opportunity to brainwash you. And you might go, Pastor, mind your own business as soon as I'm done. Just saying. In all seriousness, listen, when you go out into the world, the first thing the world wants to do is deprogram you. Because Christianity is bad, Jesus is bad, God is bad, the Bible is wrong. Don't let go of your faith. You will sink like a rock. Remember when Peter got out, while he was in the boat, Jesus is walking on water. And Peter said, Lord, Lord, allow me to come to you. And Jesus said, come on, baby. Okay, not really that, but you know. And it says, the Bible says that Peter got out of the boat and he walked. Now, this here is a step. That's not walking. That's a step. This is walking. The Bible said he walked. And then the Bible says that he took his eyes off of Jesus and immediately sank. Then he cries out to Jesus, Lord, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reaches down, the Bible says, and pulls him up. And they walk together back to the boat. And Jesus said, Peter, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? I'm going to tell you, keep your faith, because when you doubt, the world is the water. And you'll sink. Now, Jesus is there. He'll snatch you up if you call on him. But why take that chance? Keep the faith. Keep the faith. God will always deliver you. Then we see in verse 2. All right, go back to 1. Let me finish it. I'm sorry. Let me finish 1. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Oh boy, we all got that, don't we? And sometimes we don't want to let it go, do we? We just want to hold on to it. Anybody ever fall in water fully clothed? It is tough to swim, isn't it? That's the weight. Whatever it is that just keeps pulling you back, whatever it is that just keeps pulling you down, you got to let it go. Cut it loose. Do you know back in the day, and I know people are like, there's no way this is possible. Runners back in this time when they would run the races, runners would actually have their spleen removed because it was just that much more weight they could get rid of. They ran basically naked, just with a strap, right? You guys got that idea. And why did they do all that? They wanted nothing to slow them down, nothing to hold them back. And so they literally would get rid of every weight that they could that would make them run faster so they could win the crown, right? But this is, we don't want a crown that's going to fade. We want the crown from God. Amen? And so it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. God, this is not a sprint. We live in a microwave instant society. We want it now. Now. Listen, I want a full course meal, full blown in 30 seconds. We put it in the microwave, hit the button, and we're like, what? It's not done yet? Like, we want everything now. And I'm telling you, this walk is an endurance walk. Anybody ever watch boxing or MMA or anything like that? Man, they got to go 5 rounds, 10 rounds, 12 rounds. They train for the endurance. They train for the long haul. That's you and I. And he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And the reason he uses race is because God will give us the crown if we're victorious. Amen? So, face your fears, forget your failures, follow your faith, wearing the whole armor of God. That's why I gave you that in the beginning. Because if you're going to follow your faith, I gave you Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. That is how you follow your faith. And then, the last thing I have for you, the very last slide, if you'll put it up, please. When you walk out of here, I want you to see that you have to be all that God has created each one of you to be. God has wonderful plans for us. He's got wonderful plans for each and every one of you. But you will determine if those plans come to fruition. You determine that. If you walk in His grace, you'll always be victorious no matter what happens in life. But if you don't, man, it just compounds over and over and over again. Be all that God has created each one of you to be. And if you do that going on into the future, man, you will have blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for today. Father, we thank You for Your marvelous works, for all that You do, how much You love us, Father. We thank You for Your Word and how not only does it call us to You, but it teaches us how to walk and live and have success in life. Father, help us not to get caught up in the world's ways, but Father, to stay caught up in Your way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to take care of that. The Bible says that in order to go to heaven, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He's the Savior of the world. He conquered death and hell, and He's at the right hand of the Father. Now, I'm not saying you have to understand how all that works. The Bible says, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through Me. And so I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ if that's your desire. If you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you believe that He conquered death and hell, and He rose on the third day, and He's at the right hand of the Father, and you want to give your life to Him, I want you to pray this prayer. Now listen to me. The words are not magical. The prayer is simply a roadmap that gives you a timestamp where you can say, this day I made a conscious decision to give my life to Jesus Christ. That's all the prayer is. Salvation comes through faith. The prayer just helps you stamp the day of that faith, or the day that faith starts. So if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I ask You to forgive me. Forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. Forgive me of all of my sins. Today, I turn, I repent. I walk away from the world and all that is in it, and I walk toward you. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins, and today I give you my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you ask Jesus, today you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. That means if you did it in the past and you meant it, you're already saved. You can only get saved once. You don't need to do it again. It's eternal salvation, a forever thing. But if today